you're listening to Big Blend Radio's Lost Angel Travel Adventures Show with Linda Ballou, travel writer and author, and your host, Lisa Smith. Hey, everybody. Super excited for our third episode today with Linda Ballou, you know, travel writer and author. And I encourage you, you know, it is December. It's the holiday season, to go to our website, lostangeladventures.com and lindabalouauthor.com. But today I want to, before we get Linda to talk about her High Sierra adventures, following in the footsteps of John Muir up in California's beautiful High Sierra country, we're going to talk about horse riding, trail riding, horse jumping. We're also going to talk about her book, The Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon, her novel, which I just finished last night. And expletive, expletive, I was really mad when it ended. So, you know, I'm just waiting for part two. And she hinted it at the end of the book. So I'm going to get on her case today. But Linda, before we go hang out with John Muir country, in the John Muir country, I do want to touch on Lost Angel Adventures. I remember you first came on the show. You know, you're talking about walking the California coastline, but I think it's important to kind of explain the Lost Angel. You've got a book, three books on that series. So tell everybody about the three books, give an overview and why you're a Lost Angel.
Right. Yeah, I want people to understand that I am a Lost Angel, like 17 million other Lost Angels in the city of Los Angeles. And my travels are about my adventures outside of LA. So LA, you know, Lost Angel Walkabout, I take you to Costa Rica, New Zealand, you know, a lot of places that I've traveled, a lot of the Wild West, because I'm a horse person. And in Lost Angel in Paradise, I take you up the coast of California, which I love. And I take you on a hike, a medium hike, not hard, and then down to, or maybe a beach stroll, something like that. And then I take you to a sweatband friendly eatery where you can eat outdoors. And I'm an outdoors person. So all of the day trips that I have from Malibu to Mendocino are outdoor days. And then Lost Angel Unleashed, I just released in 2023. And it is travel memoir, and it talks about my early beginnings in Alaska. The first story, it takes you to my teenage years in Alaska, and then a lot of very personal stories that didn't get included for one reason or another. So, yeah, I'm a Lost Angel.
In the city of angels. Yeah, in the city. Well, some people that don't know, Los Angeles is known as the City of Angels.
Right. So it's nothing to do with religion. My religion is that I find salvation in nature. Mm. So it's, I just want to be clear about that, because some people have been confused thinking that, you know, I'm talking about religion, and I'm not. I'm talking about adventure and being bold in life.
Yeah, and that's you know, it's so interesting to read The Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon. I love it. Also, you know, Nancy and I are horse people too, and had horses when we lived in South Africa. I was one of those girls that had her wall covered in horse pictures, and then finally had, you know, the real horse experience and the vet bills and the doctor bills to go with it.
Right.
They go hand in hand. But there was so much to learn, and I think anybody who loves horses knows, and especially has had them and had that experience and really ridden. And I mean, I used to sleep in the stable with my horse, like one of those crazies, right? Your book is so beautiful in that it talks about how overcoming things, right? Overcoming those, you know, emotional obstacles, all kinds of obstacles. I don't want to give the book away, but also this relationship between humans and horses. And I think when you read it as an equestrian person, you will understand that how to treat a horse well and how a horse will take care of you in return.
Right. I think once you're a horse person, always a horse person.
Yes.
And when I was in the horse world for a decade, I had my own horse, and We did everything together. She was my best friend, you know, and really a physical connection and an emotional connection. You work with the horse, and, you know, a lot of horses are used to help people with PTSD, you know, vets with PTSD or, you know, other problems. And so before I wrote Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon, I was just hook, line, and sinker into the horse world. And one of the trips that I did when I was able to do these things was I took a horseback trip up into the High Sierras.
Beautiful.
And on the, and I was just totally, totally enamored with the High Sierras. I mean, it is magical up there. I mean, you're up at like 10,000 feet and it's, you know, unsullied nature, and especially in the spring. I went in the fall and the spring, both gorgeous times to be in the high country. But in the spring, you have these lovely little rills framed in wildflowers, and, you know, it's just incredibly beautiful. And on the fourth night of my 5-day pack trip up into the High Sierras, I tripped and fell and landed on a log that was jutting up, and it hit in my ribs, and it cracked my ribs. So there I was, lying on the Pacific Crest Trail, about a football field away from my camp, and watching the world spin around, you know. And it was a very, very precarious situation because we didn't have a satellite phone. This was early in the days, and my wranglers were quite naive. They had just come down from Canada, and they hadn't really been trained on this trail, but they were both really lovely young men. And, you know, the one kid looks down at me. I'm laying there on the ground. He looks down at me and he says, "Well, do you want us to get a helicopter?" And I went, "Yeah." He says, "Well, okay, you have to authorize it." And I said, "Well, okay." And so he got a paper bag, and I just signed on this paper bag, you know, "Yes, please get me a helicopter, because I can't walk. I certainly can't ride out." It was like a, you know, a full day ride out, and I was at 10,000 feet. So,
And breathing at that point when your ribs are messed up.
I mean, I was in agony. I've never experienced that much pain, intense pain, before or since, I don't think. And there were no medical stuff on the camp. These kids were totally unprepared for an emergency. And I had a Tylenol PM. That was it. So the one young guy, he rode out for me at night, very dangerous ride. He saved my life.
Yep.
And the next morning, there were two helicopters circling overhead. But they couldn't find a place to land, so they were just circling and circling. So the head wrangler came over to me and he says, "Well, we're gonna have to leave now." "Are you kidding me?" And I was like trying not to cry. I said, "You're leaving?" He said, "Yes. Well, we have these other guests we have to take down the hill because we're running out of food, and we, you know, have to feed the horses, blah, blah, blah. So, but we're going to leave Cookie here with you with a mule, and in case she has to take me down on the mule." All right. So, I mean, this was like really getting serious. So I'm laying there. We're looking up, watching the helicopter circle around. And, they went away. So the next thing I knew, and I was really beside myself at that point, not knowing, you know, whether to cry or scream or what. And the next thing I knew, I was being rescued, and they were putting a neck clamp on me, and they were putting me on a carrier. And these military guys carried me at least, I don't know, maybe a half a mile on a stretcher. And then when I'm laying down on the helicopter floor looking up, and I've got, you know, a tube in my arm and everything. And I said, "I hate to be crass, but how much is this going to cost me?"
I know. I mean, even an ambulance right now, you don't want to call an ambulance these days
Really?
even.
Well, you know, I mean, and your insurance does not cover it unless, and I learned the lesson. Anyway, he said,
Oh.
well, you're lucky. And I went, really? And he said, yeah, he said, this one is on the on us. This is on the government. He said, if the sheriff copter had picked you up, you would have been charged. But we're just hanging around doing nothing, so it's okay.
Well, hey, here's for the military.
So I learned a lot of lessons there. And one of the big one that I really want to share with people, and I do this all the time in my articles, is that even if you're traveling domestically, that is in the United States for me, get emergency medical evacuation insurance. You can fall down and trip anywhere, you know, and the ambulance costs, you know, if you have to be airlifted out, a lot of hikers get airlifted out around here in Santa Monica Mountains. You know, and in Hawaii, they'll charge you the cost, and here too. But I mean, if you get emergency medical insurance, then that cost will be covered. And it only costs about $50 to $75. There's several companies. Actually, there's only one left that I know about that offers that option where you can just buy that coverage and not have to get a full travel insurance policy.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's a good tip. I mean, because we have so many, I know for our audience is huge on outdoors and park travel.
Right.
I always think about internationally, but I never really think about that domestic thing. And,
right.
And evacuations now with wildfires and all kinds
right.
of stuff.
Right. No, it's serious. Yeah, I mean, it was $1,000. I had an accident on Ginger locally, and it was like $1,000 for them to take me 5 miles to the nearest hospital. So, yeah, I mean, it's just something that, you know, it's not that expensive, and I buy it every year. I buy it for every trip I take. So at any rate, the High Sierras were so gorgeous, and even though I got injured there, I always wanted to go back because it's so beautiful. And so when I got injured riding, I didn't really get injured riding Ginger, but my back went out and I had to give up jumping and being in events and all that crazy stuff.
No Grand Prix for you after that.
Right. So I had to give it up, but I loved it so much that I took my protagonist there so she could be there, you know, so she could be there for me. So I'd like to read a little bit from Falling in the Footsteps of John Muir.
I want to just let people know that Falling in the Footsteps in John Muir's Lost Angel story from your book, Lost Angel Walkabout, and then
right.
The Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon is the novel that is based off of this. And then Linda, because the novel does follow this Lady Jemsey, who's a horse rider and also gets injured, and how she overcomes that goes through the, you know, the John Muir Wilderness area with a horse. And as, you know, Linda loves to put some hot romance in there.
Oh, well, we'll get there.
Okay, good. All right. So read your passage.
I want to read this because I want people to feel how beautiful it is and why it inspired me so much. So, okay. We ambled beside the creek, cascading down boulders the size of boxcars for a couple of hours. I scanned the deep pools and crevices of the creek, trying to find the water ouzel, a clever little bird that dives beneath the water looking for tidbits that kept John Muir amused for hours. The wrangler's bottom rocked back and forth in the saddle while he rhythmically swatted the horse with a quirt, humming a cowboy tune. He made a hairpin turn up the mountain, taking us on a trail that snaked towards the sun. The narrow boulder-strewn switchback called for the nerves of a bullfighter and the strength of a mule. I was aboard Judy, an unflappable mountain horse, who casually snagged Purple Lupin on the side of the trail, never noticing the gorge below. I trusted her sure-footedness and pushed visions of a rider and horse rocketing down the chasm from my mind. Ibabel Hot Springs rests in a sheltered valley surrounded by rugged peaks. A circle of rocks forms a pool with a pipe jutting out of a boulder, delivering steaming water into a frothy brew. We tore off our clothes, revealing swimsuits and white legs, jumped into the pool, letting the water melt away the ache of saddle sore muscles. When I reached parboil, I sprawled on a hot boulder like a marmot to dry in the warm sun. A cool breeze licked across my wet skin. I sank into the strength of rock, consciously absorbing the essence of Iva Bell, imagining that I'd joined John in his reveries. Now, that was the day that I got hurt. I was like lightheaded from being in the hot springs, and it was a very big riding day. So when I left camp and to do a little birding, you never know how you're going to get hurt. I stepped into this rill and sank into it. So the point is, I loved every second of it. It was so beautiful. And I would, in this lifetime, love to have gone back in a horse trip, but I couldn't. But I could take Jimsy. And I put Jimsy on my mare that I loved to death and that I just hated giving up. And I put her on Jimsy up in the Sierras.
And so she got to go in the hot springs. She got to
the hot springs. In the hot springs is where I take her with Brady. She in the book,
don't give it away now. Don't be careful.
I won't give it away, but she's encountered with a bear, and that incident puts her in the arms of Brady. And Brady and she somehow, you know, have a steamy romance there in Iva Bell Springs. Now, how did that happen? I was like, you know, I said I was thinking about rocks, but I think I might have been thinking about something else.
Well, apparently you do like cowboys and wranglers in front of you with good butts.
I got to admit it. I got to admit it. I mean, he is my fantasy guy. I mean, he's good looking, but he's not vain. Yeah. He's very capable. He's a great cook.
He's intelligent.
He knows animals, loves nature.
And I love how the wildlife conservation part comes through in this.
Right. Now, that's
story
a very
too.
Special message, Lisa, that a lot of people really don't pick up on and haven't commented on. And it was very important to me because being from Alaska, I'm really disturbed by people who disturb the natural world and who are really stupid about it when they're there. Like when I lived in Haines, Alaska, when I was a teenager, the tourists would come up and there was a place where the bears would feed, and they'd come out pretty regularly every night, and they were on the other side of the river. So, and the tourists were on the bank side, the camp side. So a mama bear came in with her two cubs, and a silly tourist went into crossed the river, you know, waded, which was stupid to begin with. It was very dangerous. And approached the baby. And, of course, the mother attacked her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the end of the story is they put down the bear. And that's what happened.
I thought what was so good also that you brought in the Native American culture and stories into the book as well, and our dear friend who's passed, I think I've told you about Jim Ostick, and he retired as a teacher, cycled the perimeter of the country, walked across the country, has done most of the Appalachian Trail and then the Pacific Crest Trail, and his last book, I should send that to you, it was Walks Far Man, and it was It's not so, you know how there's so many Pacific Crest Trail books and the wilderness area, the John Muir area that you're talking about is on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Right.
And his was about understanding where you're walking and, you know, the Native American cultures that have lived there for centuries.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the stories of these, of the cultures. And, when you were talking about Brady and the bear and some of the stories, the Native American stories, you mentioned the Nez Perce, because he had been up in that area of the Nez Perce.
Right.
We're going there next. I can't wait. Next time we talk to you, we'll be
the Appaloosa lady.
Yeah, Christy.
I'm looking forward to meeting or hearing about her. Yeah.
We're gonna be up in Joseph, Oregon during Chief the winter.
Joseph, my story about being in Wisdom, Montana, that's where I went to Chief Joseph's village where they were attacked. but at dawn. But they this was the only battle that they actually won. They got the Gatling gun away from the army and turned it on them. And this was the only battle Chief Joseph won.
Go get it.
So,
yeah.
So I wrote about that. That's in Lost Angel Walkabout also, that story about Chief Joseph.
But that's what I think is also great is it does tie into this area. And you were talking about the Wranglers that, you know, came in from Canada. But, you know, all throughout the West, you know, people go back and forth according to season, these Wranglers and riders. You know, they really do. So that's part of the culture of the American West, you know, are
right,
these
the Indian
riders.
migrations for, you know, seasonal hunting and so on, you know.
And also cowboys.
My local Indians here had trails that went, you know, to Colorado and to the Southwest, and they had trading routes and so on. They had vast trail networks. You know, my Indians had the sea, so they could gather things from the sea that weren't inland. At any rate, I just read a good book called The Trail. I can't pronounce the man's name, but I have to say, I think it's the best book I've read about doing the Pacific Crest Trail. Now, I know a woman who rides solo. I wanted to ride solo on the trail. And this young woman named Jillian Larson, I think is her name. She did it. She does it. She does it with the help of her mother, who, you know, is along with support at different stops, you know, because you have to have feed for your animals, you know, and you can't carry all that stuff.
Yeah, it's different than hiking.
At any rate, you know, writing the book, I got injured, as I say. I had to give up my really wonderful life that I loved, going out to the ranch kept my house at a place called Creekside. And every time I would drive across the creek and be on the other side and be in the barn, I could feel my molecules settling into place. You know, I was just I was just so happy there with the smell of leather and manure. You know,
even horse pee smells good. I mean, I can't explain it. You know, there's something about horses and having that connection because, and one point of your book, one part of it, there's the trainer Billy that's training Jemsey and her horse Marshall, and he was talking about at one point you cannot match your weight against the horse. The horse will always win if you try to communicate and control. And yet Dominique, boy, did I want to smack her.
She was based on a real character, and so was the trainer. The trainer was based on Jimmy Williams, who's a really famous trainer. He's not with us anymore, but he was alive at the time, and I was able to interview him.
Oh, wow.
And he was a very cool guy. You know, he was a tall man, a large man, and, you know, usually men don't connect the way women do with horses, you know, typically. But he really did, you know, and he had a very gentle way with it, you know. He was really he was quite inspirational for me. And part of when I was in the horse world and, you know, getting lessons and training and going to events and jumping and so forth, I was really honored to meet with him. And so I put him in my book.
And the way people cared for the horse, I thought that was so crucial. Because when we had our horses and we did do a little bit of jumping and things like that, Nancy's horse was a Flemish cart horse named Surtees after the race car driver. And he loved to jump. He was, I think, like 18, 19 hands. He was huge.
Wow. Yeah.
He was huge and would take, he was 17 years old and 19 hands, and he was retired from jumping. But we had it set up in our, what we called a paddock out there, the corral here, I suppose. And set up all the jumps, but he would go and do the jumps every day and then do it as his own, you know, circuit. And then he would reverse it. And even when she showed him, he would finish it and then go, "We're going back in," and do it backwards. He was so into it. But the attitudes, like I remember one lady, kind of like your Dominique character, getting after me because I had a Cinnabar was my horse. Oh, my horse, Cinnabar. I wrote about her as a kid in every single high school I went to, every school. Here's, I'm regurgitating the same story because I did a lot of different schools from travel, but she was a dun and part Arab and part pony. She was beautiful. I mean, just this wispy, long mane, and her tail almost hit the ground. And we needed that. We're in Africa, man. There's flies everywhere, and horse
And
flies,
you need it too, yeah.
and I tell you, this snotty woman, I'm watching my language here. What who wanted? They try to do a campaign against me about I need to cut her tail, and I'm like, no, I don't. And so there was this whole, we called it the mink and manure set.
Well, there's a lot of competition in it, and you have a lot of the horse people are quite wealthy. You have to be to really participate in it fully. So there's quite a bit of snobbery, and I never really fit there. I was more of I love to trail, and that was a wonderful thing. Jimsy loved to trail, or not Jimsy, Ginger. So, but my horse was an Appaloosa who was about the size of a quarter horse. And but she was all white. She didn't have the spots. But she was short on legs, but long on heart. And God love her. I mean, she was so bold and so brave. I mean, when I took her out on the trail, she would tromp through anything. It wasn't like these high-strung thoroughbreds that a lot of the wealthy people were riding and who couldn't handle, by the way. There's all of
Trail
that. There's
riding's a whole
a lot
different
of
thing.
snobbery in the horse world.
Well, the trail riding, we all preferred that. Nancy and I did as well. And but it comes with this whole other set of having to be completely observant. You have to trust your horse and its footsteps. Because I mean, where we were, you have bears and deer and that kind of wildlife here. Over there, we had warthogs. We would go riding through this old game reserve. And if they got spooked, I mean, I remember plastic bags on my horse were the two, a plastic bag anywhere, off she goes, and she loved to just drop her front shoulder, man. It's just like,
Well,
here
some
we're
of them
going,
are,
boom.
some of them are afraid of water and afraid of this and that, because they're allowed to be, because they're not trained properly to deal with. So, that's why I loved Ginger so much. We went all over these mountains that I live in, and it was a great time in my life. So the cowgirl jumped over the moon was my way of moving forward from my injury, and it's been well received,
It's
and
a
people seem to
really
enjoy
good
it.
book.
I enjoy it. It's fun. And then after that, I went, okay, well, I can't be a full tilt horse person anymore. And I love to write and I like to travel. Oh, I know. Why don't I be a adventure travel writer and go to guest ranches? And that's what I did.
Well, you know horses. It's very, obvious. And you also know the terrain really well. And I know that area, like the back of my hand. I really do know the Yosemite, the High Sierras, Owens Valley, Bishop, Lone Pine, like Independence, Manzanar, all of that. Highway 395. That area to me is magic land.
It
And
really is.
I watched the moon set with a pink sunset coming and the moon at the same time, and over Mono Lake one time when I was driving from Sacramento to 395, and they were shutting down the roads because a snowstorm was coming in, and I'm like, this is cool though. This is, but it can happen.
The horse camp that I took out of was out of Bishop at Rock Creek, and the fall trip was just so lovely. The
Oh man, they're
aspens are
beautiful.
spinning like silver dollars, and you have but I'll tell you, on that first trip that I took that was in the fall, I have another story in Lost Angel Walkabout. It's called On Getting an Altitudinal.
That's about right.
Because that night we camped out, I guess it was September, October, and it went down to I don't know what below zero, and I was in this tent in a mummy bag on a rubber thing, and I kept flipping and flopping and flipping and flopping, sliding on this rubber thing. And so the next thing I know, I popped the zipper on my mummy bag.
Oh, okay, you brought that.
And then I was hanging out in the wind. Then I was like, and so I got up in the middle of the night and the stars were crackling. I mean, it was just crystal clear and a
Amazing.
billion stars. And I go over to the guide, the wrangler, and I said, you gotta get me, I gotta go down the, I gotta get out of here.
Cold.
This was my first trip in the mountains. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, lady, little lady, nobody's going downhill right now. You're gonna have to wait till the morning. And I went, I said, well, I don't think I can make it to the morning. He said,
Where?
all right, you go back to your tent and I'll come over and fix you up. So he comes over and he comes back with some sweaty horse pads and throws those over me.
Hey.
I spend the rest of the night, okay, I'm not freezing my ass, but I'm like, I
You
can't
might as
believe
well
I'm in
smell like horse.
yeah, I can't
There's
believe
nothing
I'm
like
in
horse
this
sweat.
position.
Well, you know, when you're in that, you know, in the Sierras, because it changed. I mean, we were in Yosemite once. It was a beginning of October, first snowfall. You never know what's going to happen in fall, right? And you've got to think about the Donner Party when you're, I mean, you didn't tell me that didn't go through your brain when
Well,
that would have been a.
that was my first time in the mountains in any kind of altitude. I think I learned that at 9,000 feet I get mountain sickness. So now another tip, I carry Diamox when I go in anything over 9,000 feet, which is a prescriptive drug that will take care of it. Of course, you can drink a lot of water, and try that, but for me, that's not enough, so I do
That's
have.
amazing because you being in Alaska, you would think that wouldn't happen to you.
Alaska's not high elevation.
Yeah.
I was on the Inside Passage, so I was on water level, and the mountains around me were maybe went up to 6,000, but the town that I lived in was, sea level in Alaska. Lived on the
Okay.
pass, on the water.
Yeah,
So,
it's
yeah.
wild because you have a rainforest there too, so.
Yeah, well, the Tongass Forest is, I think, one of the largest forest preserves left in the world, and people have been fighting for it ever since I was a kid, preventing logging in the Tongass Forest. One of my stories in Lost Angel Walkabout is about the Lost Angel phones home, and I have to go home, and
I remember that.
I have to go to Seduction Trail, actually, is what it was called. And to be able to be back in that forest, which is quite gloomy in a way, but when the sun comes out, it is magical, because you have a lot of ferns and mosses, and it's a rainforest, so it can be quite soggy. But I spent it when I lived in Haines, Alaska, as a teen. I would walk many hours in the forest and along on the bay, because when you're a teen, it's kind of a hard time, you need to think a bit about it
You
all.
get away from the boys once in a while.
Well, I was a transplant. I lived in California, and my parents took me up there when I was 13, so it was a really head-spinning affair. But I got it, the way I survived it was I won't say I was an outcast, but I didn't really fit in too well
She's a
with the
lost
group.
angel.
Yeah, I was a lost angel. That's absolutely right. And
Yeah.
so I would take these long walks in the forest, and it became my salvation. And that's what in my big message in everything I've ever written, in any book or story, is that we can find sustenance and solace and strength in nature. Nature is big
Definitely.
enough. Nature can absorb whatever you're struggling with. Nature can take you out of yourself. Nature can help you
She
find
will.
yourself.
She
So
does.
that's, that nature can be our salvation is my religion.
I absolutely agree. Linda, always fun having you on the show. And you're here every third Wednesday, and this airs the 20th of December. So before you go, for those who are like, uh-oh, I didn't get this gift for this person,
Oh.
people can order Kindle, right? And get it.
Yeah, you can
And
get my book. All my books are on Amazon and all the digital places. But if you buy my books on my site, like if you buy the Lost Angel trilogy that I mentioned in the beginning, you can buy it print books for $30 for the set, and I will gift wrap it and ship it anywhere in the US, including Hawaii. And
even if
all
it's
of my
late, because it's the
books,
20th, yeah, because
yeah, so
thinking for the holidays.
you've got time to buy them on my lindabalooauthor.com site is where I have that offer. Any of my books that you buy, though, I'll gift wrap and ship anywhere. But the trilogy, I'm giving, you know, a pretty good deal on that for 3 print books shipped anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's awesome when you can get something directly from the author. And I'm not knocking Amazon. I know everybody is, you know, connected. I mean, even if you think about something, you're going to get an ad from Amazon. If you
Right.
sneeze,
Well,
they're
it's
going to
on
tell
all
you to
the
buy Kleenex.
You know, I mean, Amazon is the gorilla in the room, but I have my books are on all the other digital
That's awesome.
platforms as
Yeah,
well.
bookshop.org is an
Yep.
awesome
I
place.
support
That's
the
awesome.
small bookstores. Exactly. If you buy on bookshop.org, you support your local bookstore.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome. Awesome. So everyone, again, thank you so much for joining us. We're here every third Wednesday, and keep up with us. And listen, go get some books. Get some books for the holidays, and winter is the perfect time to snuggle with a cup of cocoa, or hot chocolate, and read a book or some tea or whatever. I just feel like we need a fireplace. And, you know, I think everybody who is a horse lover should have The Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon. It is an awesome, awesome book. I'm so glad I read it. I took the afternoon off yesterday, there's people nagging me today because I was supposed to do something yesterday. And I'm like, I'm finishing this. It's Linda's fault. So there you go. It's that good. So do it. Thanks so much,
Thank
Linda.
you,
Happy
Lisa,
holidays.
and happy holidays to you, dear. Okay. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Lost Angel Travel Adventure Show with Linda Ballou, travel writer and author. Keep up with her at lindaballouauthor.com and lostangeladventures.com. You can also keep up with Big Blend Radio at bigblendradio.com. Now, happy traveling!